Revelation chapter 2 is where we're going to be today, and we're going to read verses 8 through 11. And so as you're turning there, this is something that we do at Tylertown, right, to make sure that I know you guys are awakened with me this morning. Whenever you get there, you need to let me know that you're there by saying there. So once you get to Revelation 2, verse 8, let me know that you're there by saying there. So go ahead and turn there and go ahead and just say there whenever you get there. Oh, amen, amen. All five of you. Great, great. We'll work on it. If you don't have a word with you, the verses will be on the screen there. But Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and we're going to read through verse 11 together. And this is what the word of the Lord says. It says this: "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life." Who he's talking about there is himself, Christ. The first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. These are his words that he is giving to the church in Smyrna. Not Tennessee, by the way. Smyrna in Asia Minor, right there in the first century. Just wanted to make sure you knew that. Verse 9. "I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Therefore, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." This morning, I want to speak on the subject entitled "Stay Faithful." I just want to encourage us this morning to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Won't we pray together? God, we love you. We thank you, God, for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the fact that because death was arrested over 2,000 years ago when your son rose from the grave, God, we have life, and in you we are victors. We are victorious. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would meet with us here, no matter where we are. Some of us in here, God, are in a great season of life. I pray that we would choose to stay faithful. God, some of us in here are going through the ringer, similar to what the church at Smyrna was going through. God, I pray that they'd be encouraged to stay faithful. God, help us to see, because we are victors, because we know the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, Lord, that we can choose to stay faith. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I was reading a story this week about this lady named Marie, who was born in the 19th century in China to missionary parents. Now, her parents, right, were sold out for Jesus. They ended up getting sick and passing away, both of them at a young age, when Marie was young. And so she ended up moving back to England to live with her aunt and her uncle at about 7 years old. Well, she saw the testimony of her parents, right, in the life that they lived, and decided, you know what, man, I want to be sold out for Jesus as well. Right, I want to be all in for him. So she gave her heart and life to him and sensed a call, right, to go back to China and to minister to the people that were there. And so at 16 years old, her and a couple other friends decided to dedicate their life, move back to China, and dedicate their life to service unto the Lord. But obviously that came with hardships. There was a lot of stuff that took place in their life. There were folks that were jeering them, saying, "What are you doing? Giving up your life in order to serve out there." But her and her friends, and then her husband, she married a guy named Hudson Taylor, some of you guys may know of him, right? They were there faithfully serving in China. And she ended up passing away at the age of 43. But here's the thing about Marie that I want for you guys to understand this morning. Marie understood this fact that at the end of the day, man, what counts, what matters is a life that's faithfully lived for Jesus. What matters at the end of the day is a life that is sold out, right, for being all in for Jesus. That's sold out for choosing, right, to be surrendered, to live a life fully and wholly for Him. What she understood was, even in the midst of all the stuff that she was going through in China, and there was plenty, right, she understood that the call for her was to stay faithful. It was to stay faithful. And that's the charge for us in here this morning. That's what I want to encourage you with today. Hey, stay faithful. Listen, friend, hey, stay faithful to Christ and to His calling that He's placed on your life. Hey, listen, stay faithful, right, to worshiping Him and to being a witness for Him outside these walls of the church. Hey, listen, stay faithful to your spouse and stay faithful to serving the Lord. Stay faithful to raising your kids in the way of the Lord and running the race that God has called for you to run. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. And that's what we see the church at Smyrna get encouraged to do here in Revelation chapter 2. Matter of fact, they were commended for the fact that even through all the stuff that they were going through, man, they were the ones that chose to stay faithful. Fun fact is this, they're one of two of the seven churches that we're going to walk through in this series that don't end up, right, receiving any kind of condemnation from the Lord, right? They were folks that, man, they loved Jesus. They were all in. There weren't really any issues within the church, you know. They weren't wavering in their faith. But the Lord encourages them to stay faithful. Stay faithful. And just as we've talked about throughout this series, right, this word wasn't just for them. God has a word for you and I today. There's two ways we see here in Revelation chapter 2 that we are called to, two ways that we're called to stay faithful in the season of life that we are in. And the first way is this. God is calling us to stay faithful in light of persecution. We are called to be folks that stay faithful in light of persecution. Here's what's happening. Here's what's going on at this point in time, Brother Bill. Right? The Samarian Christians, right? The Christians in Smyrna, man, they were facing it, man. They were having a difficult time, right, in regards to the culture of the day. This area, Smyrna, right, was one of the leading areas there in Asia Minor. It was full of Jewish people, but also, you know, full of folks that bowed the knee to the Roman Imperial Empire. And so there were basically two religions that were coming against the people of Smyrna, those Christians that were there. The Jewish folks didn't like the people at Smyrna because, man, they were worshiping this Christ and denouncing, right, the Jewish faith. And then the Romans didn't like them either because they wouldn't bow the knee to Caesar. And so, man, they're facing persecution, tribulation, struggle on both sides, all throughout. Yet in the midst of that, right, they were able to stay faithful, able to stay faithful. In the same way, hey, whenever we face persecution, the call for us is to stay faithful as well. You say, Pastor Irv, man, you're talking about persecution. I don't really face none of that. I hear you. We may not face persecution to the level that we see here, right, in Smyrna, or to the level that we see, you know, our Eastern friends, right, the Eastern friends who are Christians that they may face. Here, but that word persecution, it speaks to affliction, trial, struggles, right? The point is, man, whatever you're facing, the call is to stay faithful in the midst of it. In the midst of it. We've got to choose to stay faithful. Listen, persecution, man, it can come from within. It can come from the enemy. But at the end of the day, the call for us is to still choose to be a light in the midst of it. I remember Brother Sean when I was in high school talking about persecution. You know, I just became a Christian. I became a Christian into my junior year of high school. And senior year, you know, was asked to lead our, you know, FCA Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And there was a guy that came some that hung out at our table that was from a different denomination. But their denomination had kind of differing views on things related to the scripture. And I'll never forget, whenever I think of persecution and struggle, we were sitting at our lunch tables. I remember the lunch tables, right? We all had our little lunch tables sat at, sitting there. And he came and sat with us. And And he came up and said, "Hey, Irv." I said, "Hey, how's it going, brother?" He said, "Hey, man, you know you're going to hell, right?" True story. That's what he told me. I'm like, no, I don't think I am. Man, I've been washing the blood. What are you talking about? And from that moment on, man, we had, you know, several weeks of conversation going back and forth, right, about what it meant to be saved, be a Christian, right? That was pretty much the extent of, man, terrible persecution, if you will, that I've gone through. But man, I've gone through affliction that's been much worse. And perhaps you've gone through affliction that's been terrible. Affliction, right, that has been piercing to the point where you just want to give up. Affliction and trial that's been so difficult, man, that you just want to throw the towel in and say, "All right, God, I don't know where you're at. I'm done. I'm done following you." Man, whenever you get to that place, hey, the call for you is to still choose to be faithful. Stay faithful. How do we do that? What does that look like in order to stay faithful in the midst of persecution? Well, it looks like this. Number one, remembering where true worth is found. Remembering where true worth is found. It's interesting, right, that the word to these Christians here, it talks about, man, I know your tribulations, your struggles, and the fact that you're walking through poverty. That word poverty, it speaks to this extreme poverty that they went through. I mean, literally having nothing. Remember, right, the people that ruled in that day, the Roman Empire, as well as the Jews, man, they were against these Christians. So it's not like they could work. Man, they were persecuted to the point where they couldn't work. So a lot of them didn't have hardly anything. Yet in the midst of it, it says, man, and some of your Bibles may say it. It says this in parentheses, "But you are rich." You are rich. What is he saying there? He's saying this, that man, our worth, here it is, our worth is not found in material things. Our worth is not found in possessions or wealth or any of those things. True worth is found right in knowing him. Knowing him and having a relationship with him. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, hey, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust will destroy it. Did y'all know that, man? You can't take the stuff you got with you to heaven. You can't take it with you. Man, don't live a life, right, that is centered on, man, just storing up possessions here on earth. Not saying that having stuff is bad, but when, here it is, the issue comes whenever that stuff has you. Don't let the stuff have you. Don't store up treasure and wealth here on earth, but rather, man, store up treasure in heaven by continuing to be faithful to him. Listen, friends, man, money, possessions, wealth, that does not make the world go round. Knowing Jesus and serving him does. And so here's the question today, right? If you want to ask yourself, hey, where is my worth truly found today? Here's the question. Would you still be able to choose to praise God if he took away all your possessions? Hey, would you still be able to serve him and live for him? Speak his name, even if it costs you your job. Would you be able to do that? Would you be able to still choose to live for him if he calls you to move and to do something different than what you're doing right now? Listen, if you say no to that, then chances are, man, some of those possessions may have you. And so choose to remember where your worth comes from. Our worth is not in our stuff. It is in him. And the point is to remember that. The stuff that you have, first and foremost, it's all his, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from him. All the stuff that we possess, it's his. But it's to remember, it's for us to remember, right, that our worth is not in that. And whenever we do that, we're able to say what Job said in Job 121, where he said, man, the Lord, man, he gives and takes away. Job had a ton. God allowed Satan to come, man, and take away all of it. And even in the midst of that, he was able to say, man, the Lord gives and takes away, but blessed be his name. Hey, friend, remember where your worth comes from. Our worth is in him. And the Samaritan church understood that. And so you got to remember that. That's the first way that we're able to stand in light of persecution. The second way is this, right? We've got to choose not to fear. Got to choose not to fear. That's what the text says here. Listen, after he said, man, the slander of those that are coming from the Jews, right, and the Roman folks, verse 10, Choose not to fear. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Friends, whenever persecution comes, trial comes, affliction comes, hey, choose not to fear. Choose not to fear, but rather to choose to have faith. Choose to stay faithful. I love what Psalms 46 verses 1 through 3 says. Look on the screen here. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says this. Hey, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains may be moved to the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Listen, and even though, man, life will get difficult, even though you may face persecution and struggle, hey, choose not to fear, because the Lord is a refuge and a help in times of trouble. Hey, choose not to fear, because we know the one who is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Hey, choose not to fear, because, man, hey, the one that's over it all is in control of it all, including your life and what you are walking through today. So, hey, choose not to fear. Stay faithful in the midst of persecution. And then secondly and lastly, we've got to be folks that choose to stay faithful and persevere. Got to choose to be folks that stay faithful and persevere. Look back at the text here. Look what it says. It says this. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Hey, stay faithful and persevere. Stay faithful and persevere. This language, right, has a connotation to a sporting event, running the race. Smyrna was known as a place, right, that participated in the games, right? There were a lot of athletes that were in this area. And so what Jesus is encouraging them to do is, hey, continue to persevere through the end. Because at the end of the day, hey, you'll get that crown. Continue to run the race to the end. Finish strong. So that you can get the crown at the end. I remember growing up running track. I don't know how many of you guys ran track in here. Any track runner guys that grew up running track? I grew up running track and I hated it, man. I hated it. It's the worst. Just because I never understood, right, I ran the short sprints, but the coach made us run, I mean, like a mile, you know, to warm up. And then we had to run all these longer distance events. I was like, man, if I wanted to run that, I would have signed up to run the long distance events. Why are you making us run these events? But I remember, you know, running, and my thing was, man, I'm going to sprint through, especially the sprints. You know, I'll just run as fast as I can all the way through. But as we know, that doesn't necessarily equate to long distance running. And so I'd have that same mindset running a mile. So, you know, I'd start out by running the mile. Man, I'm sprinting. I'm in first place. And then Brother Jordan, man, about a quarter of the way through, I'm starting to get that stitch that's in my stomach. Y'all know what I'm talking about, that stitch that comes up right there. And all of a sudden, I start to slow down a little bit. And then, hey, I start to get real spiritual. I remember getting real spiritual real quick, praying that thing would go away, but it ended up getting larger. And then, you know, by the time I was halfway down, man, I was done. I was walking briskly. Here's the thing. I started fast, but I wasn't able to persevere to the end. Wasn't able to finish. Listen, friends, here's the deal. The call for us isn't just to start fast, right? But it's to finish strong. The call for us isn't just to, man, start out in a sprint and then quit after a couple of years, man, of faithfully serving God. No, the call for us is to be faithful and continue to move forward in light of all that comes in life. The call for us is to persevere to the end. How are we able to persevere? Real quick, how are we able to persevere? Number one, we're able to persevere because, listen, what we're going through is temporary. It's temporary. Did you know that?
It's temporary. That's what he says here. He tells the church, hey, listen, don't be afraid of what you're about to face. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get ready to get thrown in jail for a little while, 10 days. Right? And you're going to experience tribulation there. But hey, it's just 10 days. It's just 10 days. It is temporary. Temporary. Listen, what you are facing now or what you're about to face, hey, it's only temporary. Say, Pastor Irv, I've been in it for a long time. Hey, my family members had cancer for a little while. Or man, I've walked through infertility for a bit. Or I've walked through whatever it is in your life for a while. Listen, it may seem like a little while now, but hey, it's only temporary. It's only a momentary affliction compared to the weight of eternal glory that we're going to one day be able to possess in him. You say, Pastor Irv, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about that. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth there, right? And he's given a whole speech up to this point. And so he says this. So for this reason, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Not only is this affliction, man, light and momentary, hey, it's preparing us. And it's preparing us, growing us in him. So, man, see it as such. Man, stay faithful and persevere. Man, hey, don't let, man, a little bump or a trial in your life, man, hey, keep you from being consistent and serving him. Hey, don't let a little issue that comes about in your life, man, prohibit you from choosing to be all in and worshiping God. It's momentary. It's light. And so keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Stay faithful and persevere. Stay faithful and persevere. Real quick, I want to highlight a couple of takeaways and we'll be done this morning. Some takeaways, some practical points. How do we apply this to our life? How do we apply this? First way we do that is, hey, just to choose to make the decision to be faithful now. Wherever you are right now, hey, choose to be faithful. Choose to be faithful. Wherever you're at. You may say, Pastor Irv, I'm not going through what the Christians in Smyrna are going through. I'm all right. I'm doing good. Well, that's great. Be faithful. You may be walking through an affliction right now. Hey, that's great. Hey, I know that's a struggle, but hey, choose to be faithful, man. Be faithful now. I'll go ahead and throw this in free of charge, by the way. Right? In regards towards staying faithful and faithfulness, right, to serving God, being all in for him, right? Faithfulness is cultivated in seasons of peace. Those of you that are walking in seasons that are relatively peaceful in your life, man, faithfulness is cultivated in that season. Here's the deal. Listen, if your allegiance to the Lord is divided in the season of peace, you're not going to be able to continue to be faithful for him in the midst of the season of persecution. If your allegiance to God, man, it's divided, right? When things are peaceful in your life, then you're not going to be united to him and walk in him, man, whenever persecution comes. And so here's the deal. Hey, choose to be faithful now. Be all in for him now. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 says it this way. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Continue to walk in him. Grow in him, man. Lean in on him. Walk in this loving relationship with him. Don't sacrifice that, man. Hey, continue to be all in for him. Hey, be faithful now. Be faithful now. And then secondly and lastly, last takeaway is this. Choose to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Choose to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Man, persecution, in your life, affliction hitting you heavy in your life, hey, choose to keep your eyes fixed on Him. Here's the deal. The reason why our faith wavers a lot of times when things get rough is because our eyes begin to wander. I believe I'll say that one more time. Let me say it to this side here. Hey, the reason why a lot of times our faith begins to waver when things come about in our life, when the waves of life crash on us, is because we choose to let our eyes wander. We choose to look around rather than choose to look up to Him. The call for us is to keep our eyes fixed on Him, the one who never changes, the first and the last. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. You're not going to be able to persevere if your eyes continue to keep roaming around. Hey, choose to fix your eyes on the victor of life, the one that's already, man, achieved the victory. Choose to keep your eyes on Him, the one who has saved us. He's the one who is able to keep us. So, man, fix your eyes on Him. Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, it says it this way. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Man, our help comes from Him. Those of you who are walking through tribulation, persecution today, choose to keep your eyes on Him. Focus on Him. Like I said, I wanted to encourage you this morning with this short text that we see here to the church, churches in Smyrna, to continue to stay faithful. Can you just stay faithful? You may say, Pastor Eric, man, I've been doing this Christian thing for a little while. Yeah, that's great. Hey, continue to stay faithful in walking in Him. Those of you who are new to the faith, continue to stay faithful. Continue to draw close to Him, walk in Him. Those of you who are in seasons of peace, hey, continue to stay faithful to Him. It's when we choose to do that in seasons of peace that we're going to be able to do that and when persecution and struggle comes. And so listen, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful.